The open government directive has been in effect for a couple of years now. By now, agencies should have come up with a way to make their data available to the public. Now, not so easy, as it turns out. The Sunlight Foundation took a closer look at how that implementation is going. Joining us with details is John Wunderlich, Policy Director at the Sunlight Foundation. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
So you found some shortfalls in agency compliance with the Open Government Directive. Tell us about the report.
Sure. So the Open Government Directive came out in December 2009, and agencies had a few months to write their own open government plans, which came out in April 2010. And at Sunlight, we looked through each of the agency's plans at all the deadlines they set for themselves, and especially the kind of data that they released or didn't release. And what we found was that there was mixed compliance among the agencies with the plans that they set for themselves for releasing new data.
So they're not meeting their own plans, or their plans are not quite meeting the mandate?
Both.
Okay.
Both. We found a number of times where, for example, the Commerce Secretary was supposed to be releasing a schedule every day, or the Department of Justice listed 10 different data sets that they were going to be posting online, and they still haven't posted any of them yet. We found a number of agencies that have done a fantastic job and lived up to almost all the deadlines that they set. But a lot of agencies set deadlines voluntarily for themselves as a result of the directive and then haven't been able to meet them yet.
Well, before we get to the effect of all this, tell us about a couple of the agencies that did a good job.
Sure. So agencies like NASA or HHS that have been leaders generally on open government, it's probably not a surprise to see that most of the deadlines they set, they were easily able to meet. And they've been continuing to lead and post more information and interact with developers and really show what it can mean to be proactively committed to open government.
Well, let me ask you this. If an agency submits a plan and then follows through with the plan, as you said NASA and HHS have done, does that really tell us how much they might be holding back? Maybe there's 10 times more information. Is there any way of getting at that?
That's a good point. It's very difficult to tell. I mean, sometimes the mission of an agency is well-suited to releasing information and data, especially agencies that have departments that are devoted to statistics, like the Bureau of Labor Statistics within the Department of Labor. And that's an agency or a department whose mission it is to share information and data publicly. So it makes it a little bit easier for them to share information. And I think agencies that had been doing a poor job of releasing data before have an easier job looking good to the directive because they're able to release a flood of high-quality. It just means they were doing a bad job before.
So it sounds to me like it's impossible almost to measure the motivation behind it. It's not clear that if there's a sinister intent or if it's just so overwhelming or if they don't quite understand the mandate. That part isn't clear, is it?
No, it really was very difficult to tell from the outside. But what we thought was important was when the Open Government Directive and declarations like this are really written in aspirational language and let's make a plan and let's transform things, and I think it's really necessary to have some attempt at being an honest broker about whether the plans are changing things and how much new information is being released. And what we decided is that what we concluded in looking through the details is that the directive has caused a whole lot of good to happen among agencies and has also caused agencies to make some plans that they're not really following through on. So it really is a mix.
We're speaking with John Wunderlich, the policy director at the Sunlight Foundation. Let's talk about data.gov for a moment, because it now is up to more than 400,000 data sets. That would seem to say that agencies have released tons of data that might never have been available until data.gov. True?
Yes, I agree. It's difficult to take the total number of data released because it's often the same data set broken into each shape or each county that inflates the numbers, but that doesn't really matter. It is meaningful to have a central place where the government at large is sharing bulk data.
Meanwhile, are people, or rather agencies, able to do it well? On the flip side of this, we're talking about where the shortfalls are, but where have they actually met their goals?
Well, one example that I think would be helpful to give is the president's memo on regulatory compliance data that came out last January was one of the follow-ups to the Open Government Directive, and it said that not only are we asking you to data, but we really need this compliance data that you collect from regulated entities. And so rather than just saying release high-value data, that memo said we'd like to see a full accounting of regulatory compliance data that you collect. And one of the agencies that did a fantastic job is the Department of Transportation that went through and listed all the data sets they collect, how it's made available, whether it's possible to download, whether they're going to increase or improve the way it's made available. And in some cases, they even said, hey, you can't even FOIA for this, and here's why. So it was a really honest accounting and review of their data publication practices. And I think that's the kind of example that we'd like to see other agencies follow.
Now, you've heard that old expression, if a tree falls in the forest and there's nobody there, does it make any sound? My question is, do we have any evidence of public uptake of all this data that's been put out? Is it really being heard, the tree falling in the forest?
Yeah, so we went through and looked at some of the positive things that have come out of the data released through the Open Government Directive, and we found a number of stories about things like unsafe working conditions that were examined because of new OSHA data that was released with the Open Government Directive. And there are a number of other examples of specific projects or pieces of analysis that were only possible because of data that was released through the Open Government Directive.
For those managers who are not able to meet those mandates for whatever reason, would there be any advice from your organization to them that they can do their jobs better and that they can get this done?
Sure. I think the main thing that we're looking for is for agencies or department heads or managers to make better decisions or to make good decisions about how information is shared. And I think often some of the most important decisions about what data is public and what data isn't public aren't made at the CIO or agency head level or even the department head level. They're just punted to whoever is most directly involved in that information. And they may be making decisions that serve their sub-department rather than the public interest at large. And so I think a lot of the interest in data is trying to force the decisions about what is public and what isn't to be made in a broader public interest mindset rather than based on the interests of an agency or department.
Now, we live in a world of apps, and when we asked this question to the CIO, Stephen Van Rogel, he said, frankly, that he wishes developers would jump on the bandwagon a little more because very few apps have been built on this deluge of federal data coming out. Do you expect that to happen eventually? And if not, why haven't the apps people jumped on all this?
Well, that's one of the easier ways to justify how the government is releasing bulk data is to say, well, developers will build apps. But I think that's just one of the important ways, the important consequences of releasing data. Another one that some might we consider very important is investigative journalism or more advanced analysis of things like what the Center for Public Integrity did for OSHA workplace statistics. That's the kind of analysis that we think should be possible, or cross-governmentally for one government department to be able to easily see what another department is doing and use that information in their work in perhaps a way that the first agency may not have expected. And that's something that we certainly see. I mean, none of these things is causing an immediate deluge or a complete transformation of government, but that sort of thing about who uses what information takes time to develop, just like it takes time for the government to start releasing information. So I guess I would just say that apps are one approach to reusing and reanalyzing information.
Now, for many decades, there have been small businesses, an industry of them, really, that make it their point to know a particular agency very well, know where to get that data, and then add value to it, and then charge people for use of that data in very narrow fields, environmental compliance or medicine, that kind of thing. Do those types of businesses, is their future enhanced by all this data, or will they be run over by the availability of this data?
I would hope that their future is advanced, assuming that they're playing a valuable role. If it becomes easier to do what their job is, or if the information they're collecting becomes trivial, then you would hope that they can move beyond what their business model is to a more advanced form of curation. And then the public has equitable access to the meaningful information, and then maybe the specialists get even more specialized or even more valuable advice. So hopefully it's not a zero sum where the businesses die because everyone has access, and instead the same effort those businesses spend can create more and more powerful access.